Well, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I didn't introduce myself on the way in. I was just excited to be able to proclaim, and therefore I'll let you know who I am. I'm Ed Johnson, pastor here at White Memorial, and glad to be worshiping with you this morning, certainly on this Easter Sunday. It was a wonderful way to start our day with a breakfast, and we're certainly grateful for you all to be here with us in celebration. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. So before we go to God and hearing the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletin? Living God,
by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the new light of this day. Open our lips to tell of the empty tomb. Open our hearts to believe the good news. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Again, it's chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke, verses 1 through 12, starting on page 1642 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' They remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself, what had happened? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Thank you. So here's the truth of our resurrection story. The women are the first to proclaim the resurrection. They're the first ones entrusted with it. They are the first preachers to those scared disciples in that upper room. They were the only ones who stuck around through life and death and resurrection. But if that's the extent of what women are empowered to do, it's also not large enough. Not large enough when the gospel witness clearly shows in all four gospels that the women are the first to know, and in most of the gospels, to tell the resurrection good news to those who were perhaps scared or hiding. The women wasted no time doing the business that death requires. And we know these women, don't we? We know these women. I know that as soon as I hear of a death of a church member, I'm going to get a call from a woman who leads our congregational care team. She in turn will call up other women who will get busy making the pimento cheese sandwiches and getting the meat tray together and making sure the drinks are ready for the reception that'll follow the memorial service or the funeral. And the women, and some men too, will take care of the details that must be tended to by the living in the wake of death. Often the one in the casket or the urn was beloved by those, making sure the reception was beautiful. And the ushers knew what to do. And grief, no matter how profound, would not interfere with tending respectfully, lovingly, to all the necessary details. I'm grateful in our church that we have a woman that lines up our ushers. A woman who puts our bulletin together. A woman who plays the piano. A woman who leads our choir. And we've recently seen other women leading, making casseroles, and delivering them to a family who need, and ensuring that in that family, everyone in that family was fed. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now I think about all the stalwart and committed church ladies I know when I read this Easter story. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, mother of James, and the other unnamed women who do what needs to be done, regardless of their own loss and sorrow, as it says in our gospel lesson for today. They push through, and they keep going, and they care for others, and they show up again and again and again. And they vacuum the floors, and they put the linen cloths on the communion table. And they take home the napkins and the towels from the kitchen and wash them and return them, even though no one may notice. And they procure and prepare the spices. And they get up at dawn and they head to the tomb. And the 11 disciples are shut in. And in shock, as the women do the work that death and love require. I think about the persistent people of faith, and I know when I read the Easter story, and so I know this Sunday of all Sundays is about the power of God, the promises of God, the victory of God, the saving grace of God. This Sunday's gospel lesson is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the defeat of sin and death, the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ that has been raised from the dead, just as he said. I know today is the day that we shout. We get to shout because we weren't supposed to in Lent. Hallelujah! Today is the day we put flowers on the barren cross and we break out our fineries, our clothes, and we hear this glorious music and we ramp up the choir. And yes to all that and more. Hail thee, festival day, right? Bring on the joy and the hope and the celebration of life and a renewed belief in the power and the possibility of our God. But let's not forget to give a small nod to Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, mother of James, and the other unnamed women who first did the work that love and faith require. Let's consider the faithful who prepared the spices and got up before dawn and went to anoint the body for the one they loved and lost. Let's remember for a moment the people of faith who tend to the details of death only to be overwhelmed with the reality of resurrection life. And let's believe them. Let's believe them when they tell us their testimony, describing what they've seen, or at least their seemingly idle tales. May they propel us to go and find out for ourselves what God has done. That's part of what this Easter Sunday is all about. It's about listening to those who would, what is like to to dutifully do what love demands. No matter what our burdens are, or our loss, or in so doing, we may encounter angels and experience evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and become witnesses. Easter points us to those people of faith who have been perplexed and terrified and yet remembered what Jesus taught. Tell it to others. Tell it to others. Every week, or at least most weeks, I stand, and we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. I affirm my belief in its truth and trusting the goodness of God to bring it about in ways somehow synonymous with this Easter story. And I trust the grace of God. I remember the promise of Jesus that he goes to prepare a place for us. I know that because of Jesus' resurrection. Nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. But here and now, in this world of deep sorrow and painful loss, a lot of death and far too much fear, I need the witness of those who tend to the details that love requires. Those people of faith show up quietly, persistently, and you know these people, we know these people, where their actions are an extension of their prayer. And they prepare the spices and the chicken salad. And they go to the tomb and attend to the funeral. And they visit the shut-in who will not remember that they came. And they make sure there's a pitcher of water and some cups and a box of Kleenex for the needy family. And they turn on the lights. And they check the sound system. And they sweep the front steps. And they do the work that love requires, regardless of the circumstances that make the work necessary, despite their own fatigue, or even pain, or perhaps sorrow. We need to be reminded of all Jesus taught by those who remembered his words of solace and hope, that through tears of sadness and joy, we need to hear from those who've got such extraordinary stories of angels with and new life that their tales may at first seem idle, but even so compel us to go see for ourselves if what they might have said could be true. We need to spend time with these stalwart, faithful people who get up before dawn and prepare the spices and cut the crust off of the small little sandwiches and write the notes of encouragement, and visit the imprisoned, and tend to the sick, and know by heart the teachings of Christ. We need to be with those who live Jesus' commandments and remind us to do likewise, no matter our present circumstances. This Easter Sunday, I want to shout, Christ is risen!
He is risen indeed!
He is risen indeed! I mean, I'm so excited to unearth this whole Alleluia thing. I love the smell of the lilies and the opportunity to sing with the choir. And I hope you'll hear something throughout this worship service today. The mighty power of our God, the one who loves us so much that Jesus became incarnate, healed and preached and taught and was crucified, dead and buried, only to be raised from the dead in order that we might be forgiven. Freed, reconciled. But I hope you're inspired. I hope you're inspired to emulate the women who had the courage to tell the tale of resurrection, regardless of who believed them, so that others might be compelled to run to the tomb and find it empty this Easter Sunday, and be amazed. And be amazed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. And amen.